I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 3. We'll go ahead and receive the love offering towards the end of the meeting. So let me focus on a few things here this evening, and then we're going to end up laying hands on everybody. But I really want people to contend. I'm contending for a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm contending for a whole new level. See, for us to see the Metroplex shaken by the power of God, we have to see God do something on a whole new level. And it's not going to come through one person. That's what I'm trying to stress with people. It's going to come through the army, the body of Christ. And let me tell you something, when God shakes the Metroplex, it's going to be done through multiple churches around the city. It's impossible for one church to focus on, what are we looking at, 6-7 million people. Impossible. Impossible. It's got to be a corporate thing where the body of Christ get together. And so what God has to do is revival has to break out across the Metroplex in churches. Because listen, I believe God's got to deal with the church so that the church can be ready to take care of the world. Do you know that there's some churches around the Metroplex that if all of a sudden, let's say they seat 300-400 people, 500 people, if all of a sudden their church was filled on Sunday morning, they would not know what to do. They'd be running around like a chicken with their head chopped off because they're not ready, they're not prepared. Are you listening to me? They can't handle the people. Hello? That's why God has to come and prepare our hearts for what He wants to do. And I don't believe it's going to be years and years from now. I believe it's going to be a quick thing. When God's ready to prepare and get things going, I tell you, He'll do a quick work. Hello? Where it took others 15 or 20 or 30 years to get to something, it'll take us 3 or 4. Because God has a way of speeding things up. Hello? But we have to contend for more. You know, it's not about coming in, yeah, I'm coming in here to get some joy. Well, you'll get some joy. But how about getting some change? How about getting some change? How about having an encounter with God Almighty where you would say, what is today's date? It is the 23rd. You would say, I remember back in July, the 23rd of 2017, I was in a revival meeting in Calvary Cathedral. And let me tell you what, I had an encounter with God that night, and my life has never been the same. And for the last 5, 6, 7 years, I've been drawing out of that move of God in the inside of me, and I've seen people change. I've seen whole cities shaken by the power of God. Oh, you listen to me? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an encounter with God, that when you have an encounter, you never forget the night. I've never forgotten January of 93 in Ketchikan, Alaska, the second Tuesday. I've never forgotten that night. And I can tell you right now, I'll never forget the night that happened here that Friday night in my brother's meeting. I'll never forget that night either. Because those are two nights where I feel like there was a total transformation that took place on the inside of me. Now, there's many other times where God's touched me. Don't get me wrong. It's not twice in the last 24 years. Many, many, many times God's touched me. I've spent many hours on the floor. There's many things that God's done in my heart and life. But those are two encounters that the transformation took place on the inside. It's like God switched on the light, switched on the switch, and said, all right, now you're going to the next level. Are you listening? That's what happened. And that's for everybody. That is for everybody in the house. God wants to do that. I'm just so desperate and I'm just so hungry. Me, personally, I'm so desperate and I'm so hungry to see God do something in the Metroplex that I cry out to God every day. Some people's hunger is they want to come in and get a little joy, get a little touch, feel the joy. Man, we just love church. We just have such a great time. Yeah, but you know what? About a transformation. What about a transformation? What about a transformation on the inside of you? What about you becoming part of the team of Holy Ghost believers, full of the Holy Ghost and full of the fire of God, that's going to shake the Metroplex, that's going to shake the state of Texas, it's going to shake America? Hello? We have to contend for this. And there has to be a hunger and there has to be an expectation on our part. When people come into a meeting and they place a demand on the anointing, and there's an anointing in the house, there's always an anointing in the house. When you place a demand on the anointing and you draw on that anointing, something happens. Blind Bartimaeus placed a demand on Jesus and something happened in his life. The woman with the issue of blood placed the demand on the anointing and something happened. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. Every account that everybody had with Jesus, they placed a demand on the anointing. Hello. That's all we're doing. We're placing a demand on Jesus. We're placing a demand on the anointing. Why? Because we want to have that encounter with Him so that our lives will never be the same. We are not going to shake the Metroplex for Jesus by doing the same old, same old. It's not going to happen, folks. And I can tell you right now, I am not willing to sit back and wait that God touch another generation and then He shakes the city. I want to see God do it, and I want to see God do it now. There are people dying and going to hell because the church has become too complacent. There are churches around the Metroplex that just go through the motion and they're just complacent. They're not concerned about anything else but what's inside those four walls. We've got to be a church that reaches out. And as we're reaching out, we've got to be full of the Holy Ghost if we're going to reach out and get people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Are you listening to me? Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, whom they carried, whom they laid daily at the temple, the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. I mean, this is not the best place to be begging. Especially in today's modern society, you don't want to sit outside of a church and ask people for money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. Now I want to focus on this. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. When you put your eyes on Jesus, you should have an expectation that you are about to receive something of Him. When you cry out to God, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. We should be having that expectation that we're about to receive something from Him. It's not about another message. It's not about another year of Bible school. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about the encounter that we have with God Almighty. That is where the transformation comes. Hello. There are many ministers that are running around and people that are running around with a doctorate, but they're not doing anything for the kingdom. The devil's not moved by your doctorate. He's not moved by your diploma. He's not moved by your degree. But I can tell you what, he's moved by the greater one that's living on the inside of you, that wants to rise up in his fullness. We should be able to walk into the hospital ward and empty out the hospital. And I can tell you right now, those days are coming back, and they're coming back quickly. I said those days are coming back, and they're coming back quickly. The shadows of the disciples would fall upon people, and they'd get healed. I'm telling you right now, those days are coming back, and they're coming back quickly. The works, Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works. Imagine greater works than Jesus did. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He walked on water, turned water into wine, multiplied bread and fish. Saw provision, miracles of provision happening. Hello. Just because we have an influx of the Holy Ghost and an infilling and an outpouring doesn't mean to say everybody's going to love what is happening. It doesn't mean to say everybody's going to love you. Because you can go study the Bible. Not everybody loved Jesus. Hello? In actual fact, I think if everybody loves you, then you're doing something wrong. If everybody thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, then you're doing something wrong. Because the moment you begin to teach and preach the word and not compromise the anointing and not compromise the word, somebody's going to get upset. I guarantee you that. Somebody's going to get upset. Amen. How many of you know everything that's on the internet is the truth? Bonjour. I mean, come on, folks, really, seriously. There are people out there to discredit the move of God. If your spirit man's alive unto Jesus and you know the voice of the Lord, you'll soon detect what is right and what is wrong. Not everything on the internet is the truth. And there's a whole bunch of lies that are being stirred up about the move of the Spirit of God and about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what, it's all a bunch of rubbish. Amen. Don't fall into the trap that they're trying to set for you, and then you get sidetracked and listen to all this other rubbish that people speak. Go to the Word of God, find out what the Bible says. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. I believe. Amen. Hello. Hallelujah. People get so sidetracked on a bunch of rubbish. And listen, there's even some ministers out there that I try when they're on Facebook. I try to listen to what they say. I try to find something that I can go, yes, praise Jesus. But I can't find anything. Oh, you listen to me. Yet they're running revivals even in the Texas area. They're running revivals today. And I can tell you right now, it's all a bunch of hype and bogus rubbish. Amen. And it irritates me so because people gravitate towards that stuff because they don't know any better. You know, okay, so let me tell you what. Now this coming weekend, praise Jesus, we're going to have a double portion weekend. Really? So it's only this weekend coming that I can get a double portion of the anointing. Because this is the double portion weekend. What a bunch of rubbish. Hello? If I'm hungry and thirsty for God, I can get a double portion right now. If I'm pressing in for a double portion, I can get it right now. I don't have to wait for the weekend. Oh, we got to go down there, praise Jesus. It's a double portion weekend. Going to go get my double portion. And then they come back with a third of what they had before. Hello. And it's all the painting, the hype stuff. This is a special night tonight because, you know, and then they come out with all these reasons. I change channels. Oh, you listen to me. I move on. I find somebody else. And I listen to a lot of the ministers. I click on to hear what they're saying. I know some guys out there in Facebook world, and I listen to what they're saying. Some are great, and some are just, using up bandwidth, wasting time, leading people astray. Hello. Take a look at some of the fruit that people have. Then you'll see. Take a look at some of the fruit. Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. You'll also know them by their fruitiness. I know I'm not supposed to add to the word, but I have added that. I hope it's okay, God, but it's the truth. You'll know them by their fruits and you'll know them by their fruitiness. Hello. Some people are like granola bars, just nuts and flakes. And then they want to spew their garbage out, and then people grab a hold of that and gravitate towards that, and it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's not going to help them at all. It's not going to set them free. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want it. Amen. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want it. Amen. If I can't back it up with the Word, I don't want it. Listen, I can back up joy. It's in the Bible. I can back it up. It's in the Word. I can back up people when they get drunk in the Holy Ghost and they can't stand up anymore and they're falling on the floor. I can back all of that up because it's all in the Word. When the fire of God comes upon you, I can back that up in the Word. When you get healed in your body, I can back that up in the Word. When you get so full of the Holy Ghost that you begin to speak with another language, I can back that up in the Word. Hello. But this weekend is the double portion weekend, praise God. Folks, don't get caught up in it. I said, don't get caught up in it. Man has a tendency, and it irritates the tar out of me, but man has a tendency to manipulate the things of God and manipulate the Word and manipulate a move of God. That's what they do. That's man is a great, they're great at that. And you can follow past revivals and you'll notice some of the revivals ended up in a mess. Why? Because man put their finger on it. Man started messing with it. Man started touching the glory of God. And you can't touch the glory of God. You can go pull up stuff we preached in 94, 95, 96. Nothing's changed. It's all the same. What we preached back then is what we're preaching now was what we'll preach in 10 years from now, 20 years from now. We're not looking for anything. What's the next greatest revelation? No, I'm waiting for the next move of God, and I can tell you right now, the next move of God, you're going to find it right here in the Bible. Whatever God does in the next wave, it's going to be backed up by the Word. And I can tell you right now, the next wave of the glory of God is an outpouring of financial blessing. I can back that up in the Word. If the next wave of God is a miracle wave of supernatural miracles on people's body, I can back that up in the Word. If it's a great awakening and thousands are getting saved by the power of God, I can back that up in the Word. God's not going to come along and do something that's new that we never heard of before. Hello, that we don't know anything about. It's not about the next biggest thing. It's about the move of God Almighty. It's about what are we going to allow God to do on the inside of us. It's about the change that comes. It's about the hunger that I have. It's about the thirst that I have. It's about my desperation. And I can tell you something right now, I'm not confused. I know what God brought us to America for. He said, I'm taking you to America to carry the fires of revival across the nation to the church. That's what God told me to do. And that's what we've done ever since we got here, since 93. That's all we've done. And the message hasn't changed. And the fire hasn't dwindled. Amen. And we might be between waves right now. But thank God for what we are between. Listen, I remember a day when we weren't even near a wave. You remember those days? And periodically you would see a move of God, maybe one night. But then the rest of the week is dead and dry. And you go, you plod through life and go to church on a Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And it's just, you go through, it's like you're going through the motions. It was dry. My God, it was dry. And then revival came in 93 and went, woo, glory to God. We're getting down with our bad, ugly selves and we're parting. Church is like fantastic. And it's never quit. I say it's never quit. Some people just got out the river and went on the bank and dried out and now they look like a shriveled up prune. Hello. It's got nothing to do with your age, amen. But listen to me real carefully. Listen to me real carefully. If you stay in the river, you'll never dry out. If you stay in the river, you'll never dry out. If you stay in the presence of God, there'll always be a move of God. Always be a move of God. And when God does this next move, let me tell you what, when it ignites, we'll be on to the next wave. But if we're between waves right now, I'm very happy. I said, I'm very happy. Because if God's doing what he's doing between waves, imagine when the next wave comes. You'll be standing on this platform welcoming the balcony that's full of people. I'm telling you right now. And it won't only be in this church, it'll be in multiple churches across the Metroplex and around the nation and around the world. Because understand something, when God does something in the Metroplex, he's going to do something around the nation and he's going to do something around the world. It's going to spread like wildfire. Listen, I can only speak for the Brown boys. The Brown boys being my brother Rodney, my brother Gilroy, and myself. I can only speak for the Brown boys. There's never a meeting that one of the Brown boys hold that's dead, that's dry. Hello? Because none of the Brown boys have ever backed off the move of the Holy Ghost. I know ministers. I've got personal friends of mine that have stepped right out of the river, stepped right out of the anointing, and gone back to seeker-sensitive rubbish. And they have nothing to show. Are you listening to me? But the Brown boys, listen, we're not backed off 1 minute, not 1 second. And we're still contending for God to move. And God's still moving by his power. And we're still having revival. Even though it might not be a 93 or a 95 or whatever it is, we're still having a move of God. But we're between the waves. And I'm happy. Woo, glory to God. Because if this is what between the waves mean, then let me tell you what, when the next wave comes, woo-hoo, we're going to be swinging off the chandeliers. We might need to lower some of those chandeliers and get them down so we can at least get to them. Amen. But we're going to be swinging off the chandeliers. Are you listening to me? God's about to do something in this nation. God's about to do something in the Metroplex that's going to move and shake the church. And the world are going to pay attention to what God is doing in the nation. Already there's a whole lot of rumbling going on in the White House. Already there's a whole lot of upset people. Because believers full of the Holy Ghost got to lay hands on the president and let the anointing of God go into him. And already there's some people that are upset about that. Who do they think they are laying hands on the president? We are born again, spirit-filled children of the Most High. That's who we are. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit. We are carriers of the fire of revival. We are carriers of the anointing. That's who we are. We are blessed of our Heavenly Father. That's who we are. And if you're not a part of that, then you need to wake up and smell revival. Grab a hold of what God's doing and set you free. And maybe he'll take you one day and put you in the White House that you can lay hands on the president and let the anointing of God go into them. Come on now. Why is the church upset about people laying hands on church, not even the world? I mean, the world are too, but the church, the people in the body of Christ that are upset over the fact that my brother got to lay hands on the president. Give me a Pentecostal break. Go get saved. Hello. Please show me when last the president had a delegate of born-again, spirit-filled believers that were allowed to come into the Oval Office. You know, I know Billy Graham was in with the presence over the years, but I'm talking about a whole delegate of ministers across the board. When last were they allowed to come into the Oval Office? Hello? I don't want to say what I was thinking right now, but it would be funny, but it wouldn't be appropriate. Amen. It'll shock a few people. Yeah, I don't want to shock you, but I'll tell you later, brother. I'll tell you later, Pastor Bob. But how desperate are we? How hungry are we Are we satisfied with the status quo? Are we just satisfied with just going to church and just plodding through and hoping that one day, some way, somehow, God's going to do something? Or are we pressing in? Are we expecting for a transformation? Are we wanting a change on the inside of us that we can be fired up and full of the Holy Ghost, that God can use us in these last days? Listen, the man that stood behind this pulpit must have had an encounter with God to do what he did. Must have had an encounter with God. You go through the history, all these ministers that have touched heaven somewhere along the line, when they touched heaven, they touched earth. And there was great moves of the Spirit of God over the years. But it came from a touch of heaven. It came from an encounter with God Almighty. Wasn't like they woke up one day and go, well, man, I just feel anointed. I just let me go pray. Woo, miracles. No, they have an encounter with God. Some of these men were pretty unlearned. They weren't even educated people. Hello. Found this out, but I've got to be very careful how I say it. Because the last time I spoke about education, some of the kids went to the principal and said, Brother Bowser said, we don't need to learn this subject. Because if we're going into the ministry, we'll never use it, so I don't want to learn the subject. And the principal, she came up to me and said, hey, I want to talk to you. And I felt, oh, Jesus, help me. Last time a principal spoke to me, I was in big trouble. She said, please, don't tell that to the people. She said, some of the kids, they don't want to do school now because they think they're going into the ministry and they figure that that subject's never going to be used from the pulpit. And I wanted to say, look, I do agree with them, but I said, look, I will make sure I don't say that again. Amen. You know, kids are listening. They're listening. And any angle they can get to get out of schoolwork, my God. Yeah, praise Jesus. The preacher said, I don't need this subject for the gospel. Hallelujah. So I have repented once before, and I don't want to have to do that again. You know, the way the Lord works is we have an encounter with God, and then God begins to move things around and then opens doors, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves, you know, in a different area, different arena, and then suddenly God starts moving in a powerful way. Anybody feel called to the full-time ministry? You're not in it now, but you feel called? Wow. Anybody feel called to the part-time ministry? There's no such thing as a part-time minister. Anybody feel called to the quarter part-time ministry? Anybody feel called to the ministry of helps? Anybody don't feel called at all? Some of you not raising your hand on what I say. I mean, I don't know if you don't understand my English right now, but anybody you've known from a very young age that God's going to use you in the last days? Well, wouldn't that be a call? Huh? Wouldn't that be a call? I knew God told me when I was a little kid, he's going to raise me up as an evangelist. So I knew for years and years and years. That's why I told the teachers what I told them. But then I say, how many called to the full-time ministry? Three of you, luck. But then some of you known since you were a little young kid that God's called you to do something. Wouldn't that be a call? Wouldn't that be clock? Hello? Are you finding what I'm saying? I just hope that's not a bad word in sign language. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry if it is. I figure it's just rubbish, but anyway, you never know. Our then time president, Barack Hussein Obama, went to South Africa. How many saw that clip? And he was talking to the people in South Africa, and they had a sign language guy right next door to him, and he was doing all the sign language. And when they looked at the tape, the guy had no clue what he's doing. He was just doing this. In South Africa. It's funny. You go on YouTube, you'll find it. There's a guy standing and he's doing all the sign language. And then when they looked at the footage again, they went, hey, that guy, he's not doing sign language. And then they had experts get on there and go, that guy didn't even know what he's doing. He's talking rubbish. And I'm thinking, good old South Africa. Have the most powerful man in the world come stand on your platform and have an idiot standing next door to you just doing this. I thought it was appropriate to the speech that he gave, but anyway. Hallelujah. Anybody hungry? Anybody desperate? Is there anybody in the house that want to pay the price for the move of the Holy Ghost? It doesn't take much for the move of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't take much for the price. It just takes everything. It just takes everything. Because when you commit to what God wants to do, let me tell you what, it takes everything in you. And everything you lay on the altar and say, all right, God, do whatever you want to do. And guess what happens? Life changes. Life changes. The way you think, the way you walk, the way you talk. It all changes. When we made the commitment back in South Africa to come and have revival and be a part of the move of God in America, listen, we really didn't have any clue until we got here. And it wasn't about a week or two later after being in a couple of meetings with my brother, I got a clue. And that's when I had an encounter in Ketchikan, Alaska. And let me tell you what, from that encounter, I'm willing to pay the price no matter what it takes. Because I look at it this way, we're only here for a very short period of time. Hello? I remember when I turned 50, now I know I don't look it, but when I turned 50 a few years ago, I remember my dad being 50. I remember him being 50. I thought, my God, he's an old man. And then I turned 50, I went, hey, actually it's not too bad. I mean, I lost a little bit up here, you know, and this has gone a little gray, and some of you lost a little more than me. But the bottom line is this, that I don't feel like I'm 50 years old. I'm not really sure what 50 should feel like. But you know, then 60 is on the horizon. Now it's a little way off. It's a little way off, but it's still on the horizon. I see it slowly starting to creep up. And then it's going to be 70, and then it'll be 80. Before you know it, our life is done. Hello. So what are we going to do in this time we have? What are we going to do to impact eternity? Because that's what this is all about. This is about impacting eternity. And we can only impact eternity while we still have breath down here on this earth. Because the only one you can take with you is not your money, it's not your car, it's not your house, might not be your dog. Probably going to be a horse, but anyway. The only one you can take with you to heaven is souls. That's the only thing you can take to heaven is souls. And if the church is not about souls, then I'll tell you right now, they're not about anything. Well, then we're just about ourselves, having a pity party. Woe is me, nobody loves me, everybody hates me. I think I'll go out in the garden and eat worms. Oh, it's a tough life. It's a hard life, a price to pay. Praise God. Help me make it through the night, Lord. When I get over yonder, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? And that's our life. Hello. I'm just so glad I just made it into heaven. I just made it into heaven. I don't want to just make it into heaven. I want to drag as many people with me. Even if they're screaming and they're shouting. Hello. I want to drag as many people as we can into the kingdom. Because every soul that gets saved, it's another poke in the devil's eye. Come on now. We should poke him so many times in the eye that he goes blind. Hello. And that's going to come from a hunger and a thirst and a desperation on the inside of our hearts for more of Jesus. That's what it's going to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are ready for hands to be laid upon you? How many are hungry? How many are desperate? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, before we pray for people, let's go ahead and just receive a love offering here. We don't have to say anything about it. Listen, I've spent the last 9 months. I was informed it's like 10 now, but anyway, who's counting? Laying the foundation concerning giving. So if you want to sow into a revival, sow into our ministry, go ahead and come on down, sow a seed, and then we're going to pray for people here in the next few moments. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fire the Holy Ghost for, Lord.
The woman with the issue of blood, we press in, we press in. And waiting pain, we press in. Through the crowd, then suddenly a touch from heaven. Jesus came.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name.
Life without Jesus is unfulfilling. There is no peace. But I'm telling you, life with Jesus, there's purpose, there's fulfillment, there's peace. Jesus gave us his very own peace. You may be here tonight and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You may be here and you think you don't know why you're here. Well, I want you to know you're here on purpose. God has a plan for your life. You may be here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Or if you've asked Jesus into your heart, but your heart has grown cold, you know you're not where you should be in your walk with God, I want to pray for you. He'll restore to you the joy of your salvation. You may be here and you may not be sure of your salvation. Do you know why, if you were to die today, you would spend eternity with God? It's not by works. It's not by being a good person, even though we need good people. It's only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know for sure that if you were to die tonight, that you would spend eternity with God, and why you would spend eternity with God, I want to pray with you tonight. Or you may be in this room and you may be bound by a destructive habit, visible or invisible. Going to the wrong websites, reading the wrong magazines, sleeping in the wrong bed. You say, how can that be in revival? It can be. The righteousness of God can miss it. Or invisible. Bitterness, hate, anger in your heart. I'm telling you, Jesus can set you free from all of that. I said, he can set you free from all of that. He can set you free and he can keep you free. If you need to be set free from a destructive habit, I want to pray for you tonight. So all across this room, if you'd like to be included in my prayer to come to God for the very first time, to come back to God, to be sure of your salvation, or to be set free from a destructive habit, lift your hand right now and say, Charlie, include me in your prayer to get right with God. Lift your hand high right now so I can see it. Lift your hand high. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray a life-changing prayer right now. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Lift it high so I can see it. Tonight is your night. We believe you're never going to be the same again. Lift your hand high. Anyone else say, tonight is my night. Thank you, ma'am. All right, let's all stand in the house of God. Let's all stand, please. Let's all stand. Everyone, yes.
Share that testimony this morning about that friend of yours. That was powerful, man.
That friend of mine. I had a friend that passed away last week. He's my age. I went to high school with him. He was a friend of mine. We were good friends. He was one of my best friends in high school. And in the world's view, the world's eyes, you would think he lived a life that everybody in the world strives for. He never worked a day in his life. He lived off oil royalties all his life. He never worked not one day in his life. He was a big game hunter. He went all over the world and he hunted. He would go and get all these trophies, and you know, you get four the toughest sheep in the world, and you get this designation, and you go here, and you get the. All the things that the world strives for, get all you can and can all you get. And he was there. But he took his own life and he left a wife. He left extended family, 64 years old, extended family, many friends. Happiest guy. If you saw him and you talked to him, I'm telling you, he never changed. I saw him about once every week, every other week. He was just like he was in high school. Happy, kind, smiling, never changed. Very, very odd. Took his own life. I want you to know that life is worth living. He had lost hope, but there is hope. There is hope in God. You're not trapped. You haven't gone too far. God has a plan for your life. He loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. You were born right now, right here. You are here for such a time as this. God has a plan for you. He wants to use you. He'll change you. You'll never be the same again. And ladies and gentlemen, the point to him, because he was rich in the world's eyes, the point is, the devil hates you, and the devil hates me. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much money you don't have. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, whether you're male, female, whether you're older, whether you're young. The devil does not like you, and he wants to short-circuit that plan of God that he has for you. But I'm telling you, he can't, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. So if you're in this room tonight and you have any thoughts, I'm telling you, to talk to this guy, you would have never, ever, ever thought of anything like this, that he had these thoughts. He not only had the thoughts, he did it. If you're in this room tonight and you've had thoughts of suicide, I want to tell you, suicide is a spirit. I said, suicide is a spirit. It's a despicable spirit. And we have authority over that spirit in the name of Jesus. And if you're in this room tonight and you have those thoughts, I'm telling you, I want to pray for you tonight. You can walk free for that. You can walk free from that. You can walk free and fulfill the plan of God for your life. God has chosen you for such a time as this. He said, even Jesus said in John 15:16, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Glory to God. He loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. So if you're in this room and you've had thoughts of suicide, I want to pray for you. Tonight, we will break that spirit. You're never going to be the same again, and you will fulfill the plan that God has for your life in the name of Jesus. So right now, not only those people that raise their hand on salvation or to come back to God or to be sure or to be set free, but if you've had those thoughts in your life, I want you to take the next step with God. Listen, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. So if you raised your hand on that altar call, or if you should have raised your hand, or if you've had thoughts of suicide, I'm telling you, we're going to break that right now. I want you to step into the nearest aisle right now. If you raised your hand, or if you should have, or if you have thoughts of suicide, step into the nearest aisle right now. Come down right now. We're going to pray a life-changing prayer right now. Come from all across this room. Come right now. I saw those hands go up. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come now. Don't hesitate. Come now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pray with me, saints. There's people in the valley of decision right now. Pray with me, saints. Come now. Come now.